Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Well, good morning and happy Easter. My name is Luke, if you don't know me, and I'm part of the pastoral team here, and I have the joy this morning of sharing some thoughts about Easter with you. A number of years ago, I was a part of our youth staff. And our youth staff is a group of people that helps lead and serve our youth ministry. So when our teenagers come together and gather here, the youth staff serves them. And the youth staff's role is really to love and to care for teenagers and show them the way of Jesus as much as they possibly can, helping the teenagers grow in their relationship with God. And so there's teaching and there's music and there's retreats and there's conferences and there's all kinds of things like that to help the students grow. But one of the things we really believe as a part of our community that being a Christian is also about having fun, because we believe that Jesus came to give us life and life abundantly, and so we love to have fun with the students. And so we play all kinds of interesting and fun games, and if you've ever helped lead a youth ministry, you have some idea of what this is, maybe if you've been in a youth ministry before. So you play all kinds of weird games. I remember one of them included drinking Coke through a sock. That doesn't sound fun to you, but teenagers, for some reason, love it. Play all kinds of games. One of our favorite games was Ultimate Frisbee. And so we would play Ultimate Frisbee whenever we had the opportunity. We play all over Langley and in Fort Langley. But one of the spots we used to play is just out behind our church building here. If you remember, behind the church building, there's a graveyard. And next to the graveyard, there's this strip of grass, and it's just the right size for Ultimate Frisbee. So we would go and play there, not in the graveyard, but you know, just next to the graveyard. There'd be this strip of grass, and then there's this path, and then the graveyard. Now, as you can imagine, Ultimate Frisbee gets quite boisterous. It gets quite exciting, and people get kind of excited. And that especially happens with teenagers. And so there'd be shouting and yelling and screaming and laughter, and occasionally a frisbee would end up in the direction of the graveyard. And this happened for a couple of months, until at one point, with great gentleness and kind of just calmness and love, we were pastorally reminded, I believe by Doug, that maybe playing frisbee in a graveyard is not the best idea. Maybe we should find somewhere a little more appropriate. And so we did. He was right. And so we found a place that was further down the road at a local school. Because everybody knows that graveyards are sad, somber, and quiet places where people go to grieve. And graveyards shouldn't be disrupted. Everybody knows that. When we look at the graveyards at the end of the gospel, the graveyard where Jesus was laid after he was crucified and he died, we see that that graveyard is very similar to graveyards today. Sad, somber, quiet places where people go to grieve. It shouldn't be disrupted. And yet when we read the stories, we see that there's actually quite a bit of disruption. There's actually quite a bit of foot traffic. So the four Gospels that we have tell Jesus' story from different perspectives, but they all say this. They all say this about the graveyard. They say there was a lot of foot traffic on Easter Sunday morning. Matthew 28, verse 8, he says, the women ran quickly from the tomb. Mark 16, verse 8, the women fled from the tomb. Luke in chapter 24, verse 8 says, so they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. And also verse 12, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. John in chapter 20, verse 2 says, she ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple. And in verse 4, John says, they were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. John just wants us to know that he was, in fact, faster than Peter. And just solidify that in eternity and in the holy canon for all of time. Jesus is risen, and I am faster than Peter. There's a lot of foot traffic, almost as much foot traffic as an Ultimate Frisbee game. So there's this massive disturbance, this disruption going on amongst the tombs. But all of that disruption, all that foot traffic, all of it paled in comparison to the cosmic disruption that had happened earlier that morning. Matthew tells us about that in chapter 28. Women have come to see the body of Jesus. They expect him to be dead, and they're going to anoint his body to prepare it better for burial. In verse 5, Matthew says, "Then the angel spoke to the women. 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'I know you are looking for Jesus who is crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come and see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you.' The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy, and they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they ran to him, and they grasped his feet, and they worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there.'" Most of the running that we read about in the resurrection stories on Easter Sunday morning, most of that running is fueled by one thing: hope. And not just hope, but hope personified in a risen, victorious Jesus. He is the hope giver. Could it be that Jesus is not actually dead? Could it be that he is actually alive? And if that is the case, what does it change? The Apostle Paul was one of the first Christian thinkers and leaders, and he thought that it changed absolutely everything. There was a group of Christians who lived in a place called Thessalonica, and they lived there around the first century, a couple decades after Jesus had lived and died and risen again. And they were newer Christians. They didn't really know everything about their faith, and they were still working through a bunch of the details and trying to sort it all out. And we learned that they actually were quite sad, because there was people amongst them in their community, in their church, who were dying. And just like you and I, when someone that we love dies, it hurts. It's hard. It's difficult. So they were deeply saddened by that. But not only were they saddened that someone had died, but they were saddened because they thought that if somebody had died, that they would miss out on Jesus' return and ultimately miss out on eternity with God. So they were just deeply, deeply sorrowful. The Apostle Paul hears of this, and so he writes them a letter. And he says this to them in 1 Thessalonians 4. "And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died." Paul says we don't grieve without hope. We grieve. We absolutely grieve. Death happens. We walk through suffering. We experience pain. We experience hardship. All of these things can't be avoided. Every single one of us in the room knows that. But we don't grieve, Paul says. We don't grieve without hope. We don't walk through hardship without hope. And that makes all of the difference. A resurrected Jesus, who has been crucified, taking care of all of our sin, but alive again, makes all of the difference. We don't grieve without hope. We don't grieve right now without hope. We also have a great hope in the future. When we consider this from Paul, what the resurrection really means, it does change everything. So we don't grapple with profound sadness or depression without hope. We don't scrap with sickness or disease or pain without hope. We don't struggle as victims of physical, emotional, or sexual abuse without hope. We don't wade through family issues or discord and brokenness without hope. We don't walk through troubled marriages or relationships without hope. We don't battle mental illness without hope. We don't wrestle with financial, job, or life direction issues without hope. We don't wrestle with addiction without hope. We don't fight world hunger or global warming or human trafficking without hope. We don't even wake up on the wrong side of the bed on mornings that we're feeling beaten down, tired, forgotten, lost, and discouraged without hope. Because we run, like the women in that story, to a resurrected Jesus. And he stands there in victory, in power, and in love. And we hold to him, we worship him just like they did. And he says, I live. And if I live, you can live too. And that means everything changes and the best is actually yet to come. That's what Easter is about. We don't grieve without hope. We live through Jesus in the midst of everything we walk through. So if you're here today and you're a Christian or you're not a Christian, and you're wrestling with hopelessness, maybe it's just been this week, maybe it's been years, today I want us to remember that Jesus takes all of our stuff, all of our junk, all of our pain, everything we wrestle with, and he deals with that on the cross. He takes that from us, and he gives us hope. Maybe you've never considered Jesus before. I encourage you this Easter to consider the hope and the life that Jesus can bring you. Maybe you've been away from Jesus for a while. You've found yourself on a path that has been something that you didn't plan for. Maybe you did plan for it, but you're realizing that all you're finding is hopelessness and despair. You can do exactly what the women did in this story. You can run to Jesus, you can grab him, you can worship him, and he can give you hope. He can reinfuse your life with genuine truth life that he gives. He is the truest thing in the universe, and he is going to make all things new, and that can begin with you. Jesus brings us hope. Let's pray together. Jesus, you turn our grieving into dancing. You take the cross, which is about torture and death, and you turn it into some kind of symbol for life. This is staggering. You take our sadness and you turn it into joy. You're doing it right now, and you've promised that you're going to do it later, in a more complete, full, and beautiful way. Jesus, we hold on to that hope this morning. Lord, for those of us who have let go of you or have never really embraced you, Jesus, we do that now. We open up our hearts to you. We ask that you would fill us with hope and with life. Remind us, God, of how good you really are. We know it deep down, but I pray that in Jesus' name, that you would teach us your love, your faithfulness, and your goodness. You remind us this Easter that you are full of victory, power, and love. Jesus, thank you for our time together today. We pray all these things in Jesus' victorious, beautiful, powerful, resurrected name. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.